Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
You're listening to Escape Adulthood with Kim and Jason. It's May 17th, 2007, and this is show number 19. On today's show, we interview Lindsay Cox, mother of three and author of the blog Enjoy the Journey, about how busy moms can slow down, stress less, and stay sane. We also talk about sabbaticals, alternatives to watching TV, and a new action figure for moms.
Take me back to when I was a child, when everything was good enough, it was good enough for the wild. Coyote sleeps in the moonlight, rabbit goes by the day, snake winds around on a hot afternoon, and eagle flies on his way. Take me back now if you can. Take me back now to the land. People sleep in the moonlight, the children run in the daylight, and that feeling never dies, but it may go away for a while.
Welcome to the Escape Adulthood Podcast Show, your number one source for long-lasting, fast-acting, physician-approved adultitis relief. This is Jason with my wife Kim saying hi from Studio 203 in Madison, Wisconsin. You can get in touch with us by sending an email to podcast@kimandjason.com or give us a call at 608-554-0803. Well, here we are again.
Good morning.
Beautiful spring day.
Yeah, spring in Madison, I don't know. It's the best.
It rocks the Casbah.
Yes, I dare to have you beat us with your spring wherever you are.
No calls from Hawaii, please.
Yeah, or San Diego. But anyway, it's nice.
Yes, it is. So we're happy to be here. And this is our 19th show, so we're still kicking it. We got some really cool things. It's the Mother's Day episode.
Yeah. You know, I put in my mom's Mother's Day card this year. It seems very unfair to have one day for moms, you know? So it's kind of
considering
neat.
They carried
the
you
month.
For 9 whole months.
Yeah.
That seems like a terrible trade-off.
You know, like carried you for a lot more than that, you know? Yeah. So definitely.
So
we're celebrating the whole month.
Yeah. May is the month for mothers. So this is a show that's going to be talking a lot about moms. So speaking of moms, our mind bender for this episode, what is the world record for most children given birth to by one woman? Does that make sense? Like, not at one time. We're not talking like
quintuplets
or anything like that. We're talking like this woman had this many children, and it will blow your mind when I tell you the answer.
Well, the family, the biggest family I know, just off the top of my head, is a dozen.
Okay, yeah, that's going to be like nothing compared to this
well, don't
one,
give
so.
It away.
I won't, but tune in to the later in the episode. We will reveal this, and this woman has got to be a saint. I'm just going to leave that. Okay, we have a really cool email here from a fellow by the name of Bob Henry. In our frequently asked questions, feedback section of the show.
Okay.
So Bob has been one of our listeners from a long time. And this email we'd actually gotten a while ago. It's a few episodes ago, but we didn't have a chance to bring it into a show. So here's what he said. He said, actually, he wrote it to you.
Okay.
I'm not sure why that would be.
Well, maybe he likes me better.
Okay. I'll just read it. Hi, Kim. I am now a full-fledged member of Club K&J, since this is now the way to get the full-length podcasts. But this is for much more than the podcasts. I'm looking forward to receiving my goodies for becoming a member, especially Jason's book. It will be a fun read. I can't wait. I like the new Mindbender segment of the show. I actually knew the last one, which was episode 16, having watched The Grinch just about every holiday season. Also the new startup music, which I just bought through iTunes. Can't wait to listen to it and transfer the songs to my iPod. Take care, Bob.
Cool.
Well, thank you, Bob.
Yeah, it's always nice getting the feedback.
It's always nice to have the feedback, and I'm sure Ethan Elkind, who is the guy who has let us use the opening song, which I still love very much, will be happy to know that he got a purchase song out of it. So hopefully, you know, we're spreading the word about that. And yeah, if you like that song, Check it out on iTunes. You can get it. The whole CD
is awesome. All of his CDs. He sent us two of his CDs, and we can't keep them out of our CD player. It's awesome.
Yeah. So, Bob, thank you for being a member of Club K&J. We're really excited about all the new things going on with Club K&J, and it's just growing by leaps and bounds, and we're totally excited about it. So, if you out there in listener land would like to get a hold of us, questions, feedback, comments, things you like, things you hate, give us an email at podcast@kimandjason.com or give us a call at our Skype number, which is 608-554-0803. If you leave us a message, we will probably put it on the show.
Yeah, so you can say whatever you want, really. I mean, well, we won't edit it.
Okay, yes, whatever. We would like to hear from you, whatever you have to say.
Right.
Plus... help us out. Give us a vote on Podcast Alley so more people can find out about this show. And if you like the show, please tell a friend about it. Spread the word. Spread the love.
Please. Yes.
Yeah.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Good evening. Here is the news for Palace.
I look good. I mean, really good.
Hey, everyone! Come and see how good I look!
All right, our first story was put out by Newsweek International. It's called A Year of Cappuccino. Lifestyle sabbaticals give busy lives a whole new perspective. There's a growing trend of people who are closing up the house, packing up the kids, and taking a true breather from their hectic lifestyles. Rather than embark on long vacations, these adventurous souls actually relocate, often out of the country, for a year or more for a lifestyle sabbatical. An extended cappuccino break, if you will. They rent apartments or sometimes buy property as investments and live like the locals, totally immersed in a new culture. Unlike traditional work-related sabbaticals, which are often paid and require a certain amount of professional investment, lifestyle sabbaticals are less structured and more self-indulgent. Kathy Osborne, author of, this book sounds really cool by the way, Get a Life, The Essential Guide to Taking Time Off to Fulfill Your Dreams, believes that the biggest obstacle is self-doubt. The most important thing everyone needs when planning their dream sabbatical is a fundamental belief that they can make it happen and that they deserve to take time off, she says. Osborne would know, based in Vancouver, she's already taken three life sabbaticals herself and is about to take her fourth trip, this time to the Caribbean. I will go with you, please, Kathy. of course, a truly successful lifestyle sabbatical requires serious planning and plenty of cash. And there's no quick... There's no quick fix to cutting corners on the bureaucracy associated with relocation, from getting the proper visas to opening a local bank account. Still, the break from reality is almost always worth the hassles. A popular Italian phrase says it all. I'm sure I'm going to butcher that.
What does it say, Kim?
Dolce fa niente, or it's sweet to do nothing. And few who have whiled away for months at a sunny cafe table would dare to disagree.
What was that sign about? It's sweet to do nothing?
Yes.
That's good.
That's the translation.
Yeah, that really ties in with the interview that we'll have later in the show with Lindsay Cox.
Yes.
We talked a little bit about that it's actually okay to
permission,
do nothing.
Giving
once
you
in
permission
a while.
To be bored.
But I like it. I'm going on a lifestyle sabbatical. I think I'm going to go to Detroit. That's where I'm going to
stay. Really?
Yes.
Oh, well, for all of our Detroit
listeners.
Live like
a local and just soak it all up, you know?
Well, I think it's an interesting thing because here we are, you know, I think a lot of us are wanting a break, but what is causing us to go so extreme? You know, do we have to go to this extreme of spending? I mean, the article, you have to read the whole article. It goes on to say people are spending, you know, $25,000 kind of thing to do this because really that's what it's going to cost to go
right.
do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, not that I'm saying it's bad, but it's like, what is causing us to have to move out of the country for a year?
I wonder, are there things you can adjust in your own life?
Tweaks.
Little simple tweaks that can make a huge difference.
Right.
It's like, I think there's that escapism of like, just get away from it all, which... like you said, it's okay,
right.
but something else is wrong if you're needing to do that completely.
Right. It's like, what causes people to get to a point where they're saying, that's it, throw your hands up in the air and leave everything behind, you know? Because there is a little bit of, like you're giving up, you know? And it's like, that. I don't think life is meant to be given up on. It's meant to be lived. And there's nothing saying that sitting, drinking cappuccino in an Italian... you know.
Nothing wrong
but,
with
no,
that.
No, but that is living life. But, you know, there's a little debate in there, I think.
Yeah, I would say I think that you make a good point that there's a, what is that? There's something under the surface
right.
that's going on that would cause someone to make such an extreme statement, extreme move. So,
but I will have to say the people that are actually getting to that point, thank goodness they're doing something about it. Because if they weren't, then yeah. more problems would happen. Yeah. So, very cool.
It's a good one. Well, I have, this is a press release I found months and months ago that I was waiting for. Actually, I'm looking at the date. Try a year.
Really?
I got this May 9th, 2006.
Okay.
So this is late, well, it's not late breaking news, it's just late news, okay? But I was just waiting for the perfect show, okay? It is, press release is titled, Moms Get Their Own Action Figure.
This is coming from a guy who grew up with tons of action figures,
yeah.
by the way, that are still in his office, so I can see where this
don't
could
judge.
No, I'm not
don't
judging. Judge. I'm just educating our listeners okay, of okay. the perspective you're coming
so
from.
So here's the deal. They manage baby boss temper tantrums by night and meet grown-up boss deadlines by day, juggling children and careers in an ongoing pursuit of work-life balance. Now hardworking moms have their own toy heroine, the Supermom action figure. Supermom's the newest arrival in the line of fun, everyday superhero action figures created by the indie toy inventors at Happy Worker. Just like real-life modern moms, this crazily busy mini plastic mommy morphs between home mode and career mode. Supermom comes equipped with 8, quote, weapons of mommy might.
What?
Stands 6 inches tall and has her own superpowers, vulnerabilities, and owner's manual. Wouldn't that be nice?
Wow.
Buy it just for that. She can be posed in lots of fun mothering positions and situations. Now, you laughed at the weapons. You're wondering, what are the weapons?
Yeah.
Supermom's weapons of mommy might include interchangeable, happy, and frazzled heads.
Oh.
A mood-swinging baby, a.k.a. little angel or mini monster. Mm. Work-home lifeline, super long to-do list, tasty but healthy snacks, magical carry-all, and choice of fashionable footwear. Work heels, and casual mothering shoes.
Mothering shoes.
I'd like to go to Foot Locker. I need some casual mothering shoes, please. Aww. Show me your line of Nike
Velcro?
Casual mothering yeah. shoes. Supermom was created with the help from moms and toy geeks. Finally.
Supermom.
The true heroes among us have their action figure.
That's very true. That's very true.
I also, as a part of this, I dug up some fun mothering facts, which I thought were quite interesting. One of them I used for the Mindbender. So okay. we'll get to that later. But did you know that the average age of new moms is 25?
Okay.
In 1970, the average age of new moms was 21.
Wow.
So we're
difference.
Getting older before mm-hmm. we're having kids. The number of kids that the modern mom has is, what would you say?
3.
It's actually 2.
Really?
Now get this. In the 1950s, it was 3.5.
Really?
How would you like to be the half kid? That's terrible. In the 1700s, 7 to 10 kids
wow, 1700.
Was the average.
Wow. Okay.
So, you know, if you only had 5 kids, you were slacking.
Yeah, okay. I guess.
Some other interesting ones. This is cool. It says, research suggests that moms who give birth later in life live longer.
Really?
I have no basis of where this came from, but it says references available at happyworker.com. They were okay. the ones who put these statistics out. So,
I wonder why that is. That's interesting.
The oldest mom ever, Rosanna Dalla Corte, gave birth to a baby boy when she was 63
Ouch.
Years old in 1994, Italy.
Wow.
Okay. Here's another one for all of you females out there. This hurts me just thinking about it. The heaviest newborn, Signora Carmelina Fidel, gave birth to a 22-pound, 8-ounce boy
what?
In Italy, 1955. Almost 23 bills
oh,
right there.
Oh, dear.
Holy cow.
Wow. I think I had kindergartners that were close to that. You know, the little tiny pint-sized
yes.
ones that come
you're
in.
You're ready for kindergarten, infant. Okay. Okay, and then here's one more little one. And this was funny because I asked you about this earlier, and you had the exact opposite perception of what I had, okay? First of all, by the baby's second birthday, there will be 7,300 diaper changes.
Wow.
makes me kind of want to go into the diaper business. Okay, now here's the thing. Speed. You know, who is quicker? Takes more time or less time, the mom or the dad? Me, I was like, probably the mom is quicker because she knows what the heck she's doing, right? What? And your answer?
Definitely the dad.
Why?
Yeah. Oh, do you really want me to get into that big philosophical debate?
Because mothers use the time to bond, that sort of thing, right?
Diapering is one of the biggest bonding moments between a mother and a baby. Okay. That's what I've heard.
And dads are want to get back to the game, right? Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you were right. I mean, who am I to question womanly intuition? But moms take 2 minutes... 5 seconds, which, by the way, adds up to 3 40-hour work weeks each year. Tell me that stay-at-home moms are not working, and I will shoot you.
Yeah.
Versus dads, okay, 2 minutes, 5 seconds. Dads take 1 minute, 36 seconds.
It's almost
half. About 30 seconds less.
Okay.
Which, okay, makes sense.
And then one has the diaper leaks?
That's what I think. I think there's a quality problem there with dads. If you maybe spend
efficient,
the next 30 seconds, you might be able to get that tightened pretty good. But
and how much extra time are they spending cleaning up the mess that leaked on the crib liner? But
yeah,
anyway.
Well, anyway.
That's fun. That's
so those fun. Are those are some things, the mom, superhero, action figure, and some interesting facts about mothers.
Well, I liked how you talked about the action figure. You can replace her head with a frazzled mom or a at-peace mom. That kind of lends into our interview going into what we're talking about with moms. So
it does indeed. Today we're happy to have with us Lindsay Cox, a self-described Southern-born and Southern-bred lady, wife, and stay-at-home mother of 3 kids. She's also the author of the blogs Enjoy the Journey and Finding Contentment in the Suburbs. Lindsay, it is so great to have you with us today. Thank you for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be with you guys today.
Yeah, we're excited to hear more about what you have going on. Just the names of your blogs alone are so inviting.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't remember exactly how I stumbled upon the blog exactly, but I've been a devoted reader ever since, and I'm not even a homeschooling mom. So,
there you go.
Our philosophy.
I always joke with my husband. I have like 10 male readers, I think, so you fall into the category of those 10 that I have.
Well, if you could tell us a little bit about yourself and how and why you got into blogging.
Sure. Let's see. You kind of summed up my little tagline there. I'm a Southern lady, mom, wife, homeschooling mom at that, of 3 great kids. Love my life. Got a wonderful husband who works really hard so I can be home and homeschool and spend my days with the children. And used in my past life, I used to be a school teacher. I taught in both public and private schools. Didn't teach for long because the baby started coming and ended up coming home, and I haven't been back to work in several years. I've been home for about 5 years now. Okay. Started blogging. Gosh, the first time I did it, I just made up the blog because everybody else I knew was blogging, and it sounded like a cool thing to do.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know what to do with it, so I kind of laid it down for a while, and then a couple months went by, and I came back to it again and picked it up again, and it started to evolve into something. I basically did it just to keep our out-of-town family and friends informed about the kids. And if you've read my blog, you know that I have a child with special needs, and so she had some surgeries and things going on. And so it was a good way to keep our family in touch with what was going on with us, and that's kind of how it started.
Okay.
So I think some of the recent posts since I've been kind of a recent reader, have really stood out to me. Particularly, you've been, and I think this is kind of the theme that the whole blog has sort of taken with the whole concept of enjoy the journey.
Right.
But you've like us, have noticed that Americans are quite good at leading busy, complicated, and stressful lives. And you've talked a little bit about that. What do you see as the reasons for this, and what are some of the harmful consequences that you've maybe noticed in yourself or your own family, or even in the peers or people that you know?
Sure. You know, I think the reason we get ourselves wound up into such a busy, life, a complicated life, is just because it's what everybody else around us is doing. We feel like we need to do more, and if we do more, then we'll be a little more validated in our lives and what we do. We don't go into it with impure intentions. I don't think we wake up one day and go, you know, I really want to have a crazy life and be stressed out and just absolutely frustrated to the max. I don't think it starts that way. I think it starts small, and you feel like you need to get a job or do this or that, join this club or volunteer here, so that you feel kind of validated about your life and what you do. You want to make a difference. I think that is a inborn thing within all of us, that we do want to be productive people, and we want to give something back to our communities and our lives, and so we just get involved somewhere, and then it kind of spills over into a little bit more. And then the kids come along, and of course we want to make sure our children have the best of everything. We want to expose them to everything, so we sign them up for, you know, art camp and science camp and music lessons and dance lessons. And before we know it, all we do is drive a carpool all day long, you know, rushing our kids to and from 1,000 activities. And there again, it's not because we're bad parents or we want to have stressful lives. We want to give our kids everything, and we want to have a nice house and go on fancy vacations. And so we basically work ourselves up. It starts small, and it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And I think Americans are just really good at this for some reason. We want to achieve, and we want to be validated. And so we continue on until we get to the point where, in my case, I just woke up one day and I went, you know, and it's kind of where the name of my blog comes in. I had just had my third baby. And my last two are born 1 year apart, 12 months almost to the day. And so I had three children aged 3 and under, two of which were babies. And I looked at my life and I went, I'm really not enjoying my life. These are supposed to be the most wonderful times. I've got these small children, and I'm frustrated all the time. And so that's kind of where it began for me. And I just decided, you know what, every day I need to just enjoy what I've got, because I don't know that I have a tomorrow. Right. And I'm going to look up one day, and these three little ones that are 3 and under are going to be teenagers, and then they're going to be grown. And I want to say that I enjoyed the time I had with them and that I treasured it. And so I think, you know, that was my wake-up call. But in general, the harmful consequences, you know, that I would notice in our society as a whole, you know, our kids, we're sacrificing our kids. We're stressing them out. I think there's a link there why kids are depressed, why kids are ADHD, and there's all kinds of things I could talk about here for a long time. But we're just starting them at such a young age, you know, telling them that they've got to do more, achieve more, be more, and we're putting so much pressure on them, and they don't get to just be kids.
Yeah.
And I know that's kind of y'all's thing on your website and with your business, you know. It's all about going back to that where we can let kids just be kids again and just really enjoy the time they have, because guess what? They're going to be adults soon enough.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Well, we talk a lot about, this terrible disease called adultitis. And it's ironic because, these days kids have adultitis.
Yeah.
That they get it from their parents, from being overstressed and over-serious about things.
It's kind of a cycle that keeps, you know, going on and on.
Mm-hmm.
We give it to our kids.
Right, and you know, when I was teaching in the schools, I would have parents come to me and say, but I don't even know how to do my fourth grader's math homework. And, you know, they were stressed out, and so, of course, their kids did pick up on the adultitis pretty young.
Yeah.
You know, because we expected so much more out of them at such an earlier age.
Definitely. Well, I know hearing your perspective on being a mom is really invaluable to us. And we actually just talked with one of our friends recently who said, well, having kids is a fast track to adultitis.
Yeah.
Just because of all the, you know, it's like life is not really about you anymore. It's about these little ones.
Right.
And, you know,
sure.
That doesn't, you know, get you with a big case of adultitis right up front. I don't know what does. So.
And it's really one of those things that it's always something you kind of have to be on guard against. I know, you know, you talked recently, and part of the reason we had you on is May is the month we celebrate mothers. So we thought, you know, this Americans do a really good job of being crazy all the time, but I think moms, even more so, are so important to our families and our society, but it's all the more easier for them to get, wrapped up in activities.
Because everything's
and
put on
stuff.
Your plate, you
right.
know?
And if we didn't have moms, we'd all be in trouble.
Yeah,
exactly.
But like you've announced that, you know, you're kind of at a point where you are wanting to take a sabbatical of sorts. Okay, it's like kind of this announcement that you made of like for the summer and the school year.
Right.
What are you doing? Why are you doing it? And what does it entail? Tell us about that.
It sounds very inviting.
Yeah, you know, and actually after I posted that on the blog, I've had several of my in-real-life friends that know me and talk to me on a daily basis come to me and say, what's the deal? Why are you doing this? Now I feel pressure to do this. And no, they're jealous of me in a good way because they wish they could do it too. Right. The sabbatical I'm taking is just I'm really refocusing my time and my energies onto my family right now. Mm-hmm. Even with that spiel I just gave you a minute ago about how we, you know, get more and add more, and before we know it, we look up and we're doing a million things that we never really wanted to do, but all with good intentions. Even with me staying home and trying to live a simpler life, I've found that it's easy to slip back into that routine. Mm-hmm. And with being a homeschool mom, there's so many activities out there for homeschoolers anymore. You know, everybody talks about, oh, they're not socialized, but in truth,
so
homeschoolers,
much.
Oh, gosh, you have so many opportunities. And, well, I looked up one day, and I'm a tutor in a classical co-op for homeschoolers, and I'm the director of the Cubbies group at our church, and I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and I'm feeling really frustrated, and I'm thinking, okay, Lindsay, your whole, you know, mantra is enjoy the journey, and you're not doing it. Mm-hmm. And so a couple of months ago, our daughter, the one with special needs, had some surgery, and actually she broke her leg, and we had just a lot of things happen at once to her. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of an opportunity where God just cleaned my calendar for me. I didn't do it. It just happened. And so I had to take a back seat to so many things that I was already doing, and it was the wake-up call I needed. I had a good friend tell me, you know, Lindsay, this is a time that you're going to be in a season of just being. You're not going to be doing all the time. And so I started thinking about it, praying about it, and just really going over it with my husband, and we talked about it, and we both agreed that we needed this sabbatical. So in long, you know, just to make it simple, what we're doing, we're pulling back from most of our outside commitments. We're not adding on anything new. We're not taking on any more responsibilities with our homeschool group or our church. In fact, we trimmed back almost to very, very little. Mm-hmm. And that was hard to do because those relationships with those people mean a lot to us. But we're taking this summer and the following school year, so it's a little over a year, I guess you could say, sabbatical. We're going to take the next year to just, you know, focus on doing things together as a family. If that means doing nothing at nights when my husband gets home and we just have a nice family meal and we go out and go on a nature walk together, then I think that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. We have allowed our children to keep one activity because our daughters are involved in a worship dance program that they both love, and so we're taking the summer off from that. They do have a summer camp, but we said no to the summer camp. Mm-hmm. And back in the fall, when the fall comes around again, they will continue to do that, but they just get one activity, and that's it. I'm doing the same for me because it's real easy for me to get involved in, you know, several Bible studies at church or several service groups or whatever, and I've decided I get one thing as well.
Okay.
And so it's just trimming down and spending that extra time, taking that time, because we all get 24 hours. You know, that's the great thing about time. There is no rich and poor when it comes to time.
Yeah.
We all get the same amount. And so I'm going to take the time that I kind of redeem by doing the sabbatical, and I'm going to invest it in my family and invest it in myself and just take some time to relax. I plan on doing a lot of reading and just resting and doing some writing, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's so great. I know you said, you know, you have your other friends who are, you know, why are you doing this? Now I have to do this. And feeling maybe jealous. But I think it's really important that you're giving people permission in a way. And I think, you know, we'll definitely have a link to your blog in our show notes so people can hopefully follow along.
Journey,
I would love to see
how
the year goes and how it progresses and what kind of blessings you get from it and things like that. And it reminds me of our friends from Colorado, some that are also homeschooling parents about their Sundays.
Their Sundays, they've basically taken back their Sabbath, and the concept of Sundays tend to be so, you know, I mean, nothing is sacred anymore. Like soccer practice on Sunday morning, I mean, that just
on
drives
Mother's
me
Day
crazy.
Even?
But just Sundays become another day to go to the mall.
Right.
Even
church activities tend to be on Sundays, you know, and so they made this pact because they travel a lot for their work and they homeschool and stuff, and they made this little pact with as a family that Sundays are off limits for anything, and they just go to church together, and they come back, and they make a real, you know, leftover lunch kind of thing, and just enjoy the day, laying around, taking naps, reading, and the kids just like love it. They cannot wait, and it's this kind of stable place in their week that if they've had kind of a hectic week, they know Sunday will be that place where they can rest, which is kind of what God said all along, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I think you raised an interesting point there because you say, you know, the kids, they love it.
Yeah.
We have gotten so accustomed to keeping our kids busy that we think they have to be busy all the time.
Right.
And one of the best gifts you can give your children is the gift of unstructured free time.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean time to go out in the backyard and set it on fire or anything like that unsupervised. But, you know,
yeah.
Unstructured free time where they can, like my kids right now, while I'm talking to you, they're in their room building tents. And I'm not being dogmatic about they've got to build a tent that's, you know, a replica
right.
of the Mayan ruins or anything like that. They can just be kids and build tents and be imaginative, and kids need that. And I don't care if a kid's 5 or 15, they do
yeah.
need some downtime where they are the master of their day and they pick what they're going to do with that time. So I think your friends are doing a wonderful thing by taking back their Sundays and letting their kids do it too.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
a really good example that, well, them and you, that you're setting. So.
Yes, thank you. That's so awesome. And, you know, a lot of the things you talk about on your blog, you refer to yourself being a stay-at-home mom, and you even talked about how you admitted that at times, at the beginning, you were quite restless with that role, and we've had friends dealing with the same thing, so I think it's an important issue to bring up is, you know, what do you think led you to be restless, and how have things changed for you as, you know, being a mom has progressed and changed?
Sure. You know, I think when I came home, I had a one-year-old daughter. I had been teaching. My husband worked full-time. We both worked full-time. We had just been so accustomed to being busy and working, and so all of a sudden that came to a halt for me.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody told me, oh, you're going to be a stay-at-home mom. You think you were busy before. Just wait. And I just kind of laughed and thought, yeah, what am I going to do all day? Bake cookies, you know? And I just kind of, I didn't know that there was so much wisdom in that. And so
yeah.
when I came home to be home with my children full-time, I really was not prepared for being at my house all day long. And so I felt inadequate here. I felt weird being home all day. I mean, the UPS guy would go down the street and I would think, he's working, you know? And just everything reminded me of my life outside the home. And so I started to fill my days up with things like meeting friends for lunch
mm-hmm.
or going to the playground, just anything to get me out of the house.
Yeah.
And it was weird, and I felt strange about it because I love my home, and it wasn't that I didn't like being here. I love being here, but I just didn't know what to do with myself.
Okay.
I just really was out of sorts, and so I had to admit that, and I had to also say, you know what, I don't like feeling this way. I want to be able to be home all day if I need to be and love my home and my home be a haven for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took 5 years. I mean, it's been 5 years since I came home, and it's still a process in the making every day. But now I'm the type of person where I would rather be home all day and kind of piddle around in my yard and mess around in the house and do things with the kids than go meet a friend for lunch any day.
Okay.
It has become a new lifestyle for me, and I think if for new stay-at-home moms or people who are considering quitting their jobs and coming home full-time, it's something you need to think about. It's going to be a change, and you've got to realize that you have to change your attitudes, and it's going to take a time for you to get adjusted. So.
Mm-hmm. I've really enjoyed the last couple posts, even the last couple days, you've been putting up ideas of what
sure.
you can do at home to enjoy being at home. And I'm my personality is kind of like, I like lists and to-do lists.
Oh, I'm such a list person.
You know?
I'm
right
person,
with
yeah.
you, Lindsay. So these ideas of like, oh, grow an herb garden? Oh, my gosh, I could do that, you know. And then the concept of, you know, kind of pushing yourself out of interests or hobbies that you've ever tried before, you know, I think that list is invaluable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you have,
yeah.
could you share some other ones maybe or some of your favorites?
Sure, I mean, just off the top of my head, I try to think of things. Now, they may be enjoyable to me, but not you, and that's
sure.
okay. We're all different, and you probably have hobbies that, you know, I don't exercise.
Mm-hmm.
I just hate it, you know.
Yeah.
I need to be better about it. My little thing is I say, the only time I run is if something's chasing me. so, you know, I know a lot of people like to go work out. That's just not my thing.
Right.
I much prefer to walk around the neighborhood with my kids, but
yeah.
the best thing to do is to just think about things you enjoy doing and things that in the same way will bless your family and bless your home and give you peace and happiness. Like you just mentioned, my little herb garden. I used to be a black thumb. I'd kill everything I touched, but now I really enjoy gardening, and my kids
That's
like
awesome.
To do it with me. You know, little things just like I like to look at magazines and get ideas for decorating my house. And because
okay.
we're a one-income family and on a budget, I have to do a lot for free.
Right.
And so I just take what I have, and I spend a lot of time thinking, now how can I rearrange this and move that around and make it look nice, and just little things like that, you know, flower arranging and going on walks with the kids. We have a little creek at the end of our street, even though we do live in the suburbs, like my blog, Finding Contentment in the Suburbs. We really do live in the suburbs and houses everywhere, but there is this little creek. We walk down to the creek and we see what we can find, and we collect pebbles for our vases and, you know, just fun little things. It's just learning to stay home and find your contentment and your joy in your house rather than having to be running around, spending money off, just being busy for the sake of being busy. And also, the thing I've had to learn, and this has been really hard for me because I am a list maker and a doer by nature, is that sometimes it is okay to just do nothing. It's perfectly okay to just sit on the couch and look out the window and think, you know what? I don't have anything I need to do this afternoon, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And that has been huge. And I still struggle with that day to day because I feel like I always have to have my hands on something, doing something all the time.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I read something recently where it was talking about the importance of being bored. And not this is more for an adult mindset, but like if you're actually sitting and have nothing to think about, nothing to do, that can bring you to new levels of peace and spirituality and you know, just thoughts of what's next, and you know, it can kind of take you to a new place. So that's
very cool. I mean, I think we're so busy sometimes because we don't want to be alone with our thoughts.
Right.
We keep ourselves occupied physically and mentally so that we don't have to think about, you know, the debt maybe we're carrying that we work so hard to put our put ourselves in credit card debt or whatever.
Yeah.
Or we keep our minds occupied so that we don't have to think about that spiritual question that we have or whatever. And so when we're quiet and we're bored, we have to be alone with our thoughts, and we have to think about those kinds of things. And so that's why the tendency is we just keep ourselves busy to occupy our minds as well.
Yeah.
And I think being bored is a good thing. I mean, it tells you that you're blessed to have time in your day where you can sit and absolutely do nothing, and that's a luxury that many people don't have.
Yeah. I have to bring up one of your tips. I think it is one of my favorite, and I think it's very childlike, although I don't know that many people would consider this, but I think one of them you said was to bring out your nice china.
Oh, yeah.
And have, even if it's not, you know, fancy company or anything, I think
right.
that is so awesome. Because how many china cabinets do you see that are just got all the stuff in them and they're never, ever, ever used? And it's just,
We do it a lot, actually. We have dinner with my dad every Thursday night. He comes over for dinner. It's just kind of like a little ritual in our family, and the kids love having their grandpa come over. And a lot of times if it's somebody's birthday or whatever, we'll just drag out the china, or sometimes just for no reason. And the kids really like it. They'll say, Mommy, can we have the fancy plates? Or Mommy, can we have candles? Because they love to have candlelight dinners.
Uh-huh.
And it started a couple years ago, back when we were celebrating Advent, you know, the leading up to Christmas. We do a big Advent thing in our home. And we started having candlelight dinners, and so they wanted to know why we couldn't have candlelight dinners every night of the year. And I thought, you know, that's a pretty good question. And so we have started using our things, and yes, of course, we've broken a few plates. It's going to happen, but I would rather break a few plates and have my kids have those memories of special times than the china sit there for the rest of my life and go dusty, and my children think that, you know, it was off limits and they weren't allowed to enjoy that.
That's huge. Well, this has been great. We could talk to you all day, Lindsay.
Sure. I'm sorry to keep you.
No, this
is awesome. We have one final question for you. We always end up on a question that tries to harken back to childhood a little bit. So thinking back, what's something that you enjoyed doing at home as a kid? Like you talk about all this enjoying being at home as an adult.
Sure.
Do you have some memories of your childhood?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I have the best memories. I had an awesome childhood. I have wonderful parents. I mean, I am the poster child for a good childhood. We had I had a great growing up. And one of the most favorite memories I have is we had this big backyard. It wasn't really that big by most people's standards, but it was big to me. And we had a little creek that ran through it. We had all these trees, and my friends in the neighborhood would come over, and they loved my house in the neighborhood because we had the creek in our backyard. And so we would stomp in the creek, we would flip rocks over, we would try to catch crawdads, we would swim in the creek in the middle of summer, and it was the most wonderful thing. And that just shows you kind of what adultitis does, because now as an adult, I would never get in that creek for all the money in the world, because I know about the snakes hiding under the rocks, and it's a wonder I didn't get snake bit. I don't do snakes, no. But, you know, as a child, I romped and played in that yard. I mean, I remember we had a tree in the backyard. Actually, it was in the front yard. that I pretended was a horse because it had like this crooked jutting out where I could sit on it.
Yeah.
And so I just played in my yard, and I remember as a kid my parents would, you know, go off walking, and they'd say, we're going to go for a walk around the neighborhood. We'll see you in about an hour. And for an hour, I would play in the yard. And I mean, that's unheard of today because it's not safe anymore to do that.
Yeah.
And so I just, the best memories I have as a kid is just around home, just playing in the yard, you know, building forts and swimming in the creek and collecting rocks and just the simple things. And that just proves, you know, you don't need a whole lot of money to make memories for your kids.
That's for sure. That's a great way to, great message to leave on.
Yes, you're such a good example of what it means to be a mom and a good God-fearing woman. And it just, I just thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule. And
well, thank you so much. And I enjoy talking to you guys. It's been fun too. And I just am jealous. I read your blog and all your manifesto is wonderful. It's saved on my computer and I sent it to everybody I know. And I'm just jealous I didn't write it first. So I think you guys have a wonderful message yourselves, and I wish you guys all the best.
Thank you very much. You take care. Have a great day. And hopefully maybe we can hook up after this year is over and kind of see how the sabbatical has gone.
Yeah, definitely. Be cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you guys come down to North Carolina, look me up. I'm not far. So we'd love to talk to you.
Okay.
Well, have fun in those tents that your kids made.
Thank you. We will. We got to go tackle some science and social studies. So.
Good talk with you.
Take care, Lindsay.
Thanks.
God bless.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Here on Wheel of Fortune. Oh, goody, goody. I've done a good thing, and I get a prize.
Okay, let's see. Our promotion, last month, we asked the question, what was the weirdest thing you believed about God when you were a kid? Mm-hmm. And following up with our interview with Father Dave Timmerman, and we got our favorite one, this just cracked us up, from Linda Westfall Booth. She wrote in, she said, well, okay, here it is. My brother and sister still bring this one up at family gatherings. They just will not let this one rest. I believe that God's job was to direct the food traffic when we eat. God directed the peas to sit in the peas place until it was their turn to be digested. This was for every food item that we ate. God had to watch over all the food groups, so everyone had their turn, and there was no skipping allowed. God is fair, you know. As warped and twisted as this thinking was, it kind of made sense back then. Yeah, go ahead and have a chuckle at my expense. Blessings to you. Keep up the good work. By the way, the book is wonderful. No adultitis here. Linda Westfall Booth.
Well, that's obvious. No adultitis.
Uh-huh.
She's got some good perspective there.
That was a good one. So, because we like that one, we're going to send out to Linda a $20 gift certificate to the lemonade stand.
Yes.
And that leads us to this month's promotion.
Yes. Our question this week may sound familiar to you. What was something you enjoyed doing at home as a kid? So what was something you liked to do? Email us some ideas that you have, and you may just...
Or you could call us.
Oh, yeah.
At our number.
Yeah, that'd be even better.
Which is 608-554-0803.
Exactly. And you might just be walking away with a $20 gift certificate to the lemonade stand.
Sweet.
Yes. So.
Welcome to KimandJason.com.
And now, here with an unlimited supply of misinformation is Mr. Know-It-All.
All right, now for the K&J update portion of the show. We have just recently released the Escape Plan Colorado Springs edition.
Number 3,
yes.
Right?
This, if you haven't seen the trailer or the bite-sized version, you need to watch it.
Fun-sized version.
We get really up close and personal with some giraffes at the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo in Colorado Springs, and it's pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
There's some interesting... tongue things going on. So
a little tongue action.
Yeah, you're going to want to check it out.
It's family friendly.
It is.
It's a little risque.
I
we had to go through a couple weeks of marriage counseling.
Yeah.
after it. I mean, there were some issues there.
Yeah, but if you haven't seen our Escape Plan episodes, definitely check out the first one we have on there. We have the whole one on. It's the whole edition on for San Francisco, and our second one was Clearwater Beach, and now we've got Colorado Springs up. And there's some great ones in the works of in the editing room.
One of my favorite parts in the first episode with San Francisco was the fortune cookie factory.
Yes.
That was cool.
Very cool to see
them. Took us like an hour to find, but
yeah,
it was some neat.
It's like
action.
This little treasure in the heart of the city. So, but in the Colorado Springs episode, we have some other cool things. We check out Compassion International, which is a very awesome charity that we give some of our percentage of our lemonade stand sales to.
Yeah.
And what else did we do? Oh, we went up to the top of Pikes Peak.
On top of the world, yeah. We stood.
Boy, it was cold. So you got to check that. Freezing.
Very cold.
It was awesome.
We did not even get, I don't think we got any usable footage.
No.
Video camera footage.
It was really loud because it was windy.
And it was shaking so badly. Freezing.
But we managed to cobble together some footage.
A segment, yes.
Yeah, so check it out. It's very fun.
And of course, that the fun size episode is always free. And Club K&J members, you know who you are, or else you probably wouldn't be listening to this part of it. You can watch the whole thing. So
yeah.
The other kind of neat thing is with Club K&J, we have a whole new renovation underway with the formerly known as the Clubhouse, Club K&J, and it's just cool. It's just got a lot of neat things we're adding to it. Of course, all of our podcasts and TV shows and stuff, but we're also going to be adding in more interactive things, and we're getting feedback from other Club K&J members about how they escape adulthood.
Yeah.
We need all the Club K&J members. We want you to participate and give us ideas of how you escape adulthood. And you can go to the Club K&J website and check that out. But I'm really excited about it because we've got the new things happening with that and some fun stuff.
Well, it's like when you get to this point where you're like, I want to live life with less stress and more fun. You want other people to join you on the journey. And so that's kind of our place online, this spot
community,
to be able to share your ideas, learn from others, and know that you're not alone on this quest for a better life.
Yep. So check it out. We'll have a link to it. That was about the dumbest thing. I was going to say we'll have a link to it in the show notes, but the actual show notes will be in the blog. So
right. If
you have trouble finding it and you're reading the show notes,
you're not
we
too
have
far
some
away.
Other help.
Yeah.
Okay. There it is. The holy grail of Christmas gifts, the Red Ryder 200-shot range model air rifle.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
That is so cool.
Oh, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
All right, now for our cool thing portion of the show. You know, something we talk about, like, with the whole trying to enjoy life and being bored, like what we talked about with Lindsay, you know, how do you actually slow down? I think one of our biggest obstacles to some of this is TV. And I'm not saying you should blow your TV up
the
or get rid
tube.
Of it. Yeah, it's like, you know, when you're a kid and your mom is like, get away from that, like, get out and play, you know? There was
especially in the summer.
Right. There was some truth to that. And I think as adults, even, we need to kind of go back to that. So we
But Kim, I just wish there were some alternatives to watching TV. I would like to know what is even out there for me to choose.
You have no idea?
No idea.
I have the perfect idea.
Really?
Yes, yes. We have a cool product on our store. It is actually a deck of cards. It's 52 alternatives to TV. So it's actually like, yeah, one for each, you know, week of the year. There's 52 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Plus I'm like, 52 card deck.
It's right, exactly. Yeah. I'm like, that's kind of coincidental. But anyway, but it's like a deck of cards, the size of that, and there's 52 different ideas of things to do besides sitting yourself in front of the magic box, okay? So some of my favorites, okay? This one reminds me of our friend Bernie, if you haven't checked out Bernie.
Bernie DeCoven?
Yes. Because they have his junk. What does he call it? Junk?
Junkyard something. Junkyard Sports.
Yeah, Junkyard Sports, where you basically pull out all the, you know, different junk and I don't know, stuff you have around the house, maybe stuff you'd recycle, and have fun with it. And you got it. We'll put a link to his stuff in our blog because he's got some awesome ideas. But this one's called Miniature Golf. Basically, you take spoons for, you know, spoons.
Really miniature golf.
Yeah, yeah. Spoons and like ping pong balls or rolled up paper even, and then some cups, and basically set up a miniature golf course in your house. With obstacles, you can make it as hard or as easy as you want. I know some people kind of got into that with the Frisbee golf
thing.
Kind of
a miniature golf course.
Right.
Isn't it?
But you could make it huge if you wanted to go throughout your house, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So as much as this sounds kind of childish, you could make it childlike and have fun with it.
We used to have a Nerf golf mini golf set.
Did you?
That we used all the time.
Okay.
Just like in-house, out of the house. It was fun.
Yeah. And you can make up your own rules of par or whatever you want to do. So another one I thought was kind of fun, which kind of connects. I like things that connect you with your friends or family. Make your own postcards. And, you know, now with digital cameras and stuff, it's like you could print off some cool picture and, you know, put it on some kind of harder paper or cardboard and write a note, put a stamp on it and put it in the mail. Like,
voila.
And all of a sudden now you're connecting with old friends and you're, you know, sharing some new pictures and you can draw your own if you want or whatever you want to do. One more I'll share is foot drawings.
Foot drawings? Like drawing feet?
No. Put the pencil in between your toes and draw a picture. And this could be fun with like a group of friends or something where you might, if you want to do like a win, lose, or draw kind of thing, but use your feet. Or
if there'd be a lot of losing going on, I think.
Draw pictures of each other, try to write your name, you know, things like that. So I think they're really playful. There's a bunch, they are kind of family oriented, I will say that. So, but if, it doesn't mean
no naked twister suggestions.
No, okay. No, very, very family friendly. But definitely check it out. Just some fun ideas to get yourself off the couch and maybe even moving. That would be kind of a fun idea.
Sounds like an interesting concept.
Yeah. So anyway, check it out.
Now I know you've been waiting, bated breath, to find out how many. What's the world record for most kids?
Yes.
Okay. Happened in Russia.
I'm going to guess. Can I guess?
But you know the answer, don't you?
Well, this was my guess before.
Before you knew what the answer was?
I was going to guess 25.
25. Okay. That's a decent guess. Unfortunately, you're way off. Mrs. Vasilyev.
Okay.
Okay. Mrs. Vasilyev of Russia gave birth to 69 children.
Oh.
69.
How did that even happen?
Between 1725 and 1765. Do the math. That's 40 years.
40 years of pregnancy.
She is a baby-making factory, and she's having twins in there, I'm guessing.
I hope so.
Holy crow, that is...
I hope she had, like, six at one time or something, you know, to kind of help.
That's
just a lot.
That's crazy. I don't know. I'm assuming she's human. Like, it's not one of those, you know, like, fish that has, like, 35 million eggs.
A school of...
Wow. So there you go. 69 kids.
So all you who have four or five and everybody criticizes you in the grocery line for having a big family these days...
You could literally have your own... football team. You know, people, they have five kids.
Only you would think of this.
Oh, I could have a basketball team. You have nine kids. You could have a full football team with a practice roster.
Oh, jeez.
Because 44 is the number of teams in the NFL, of number of players. So some of the older kids might be the coaches and the general manager. I mean,
wow.
Start your own franchise with this. So. Crazy. 69 kids.
What's up, Doc? Now, this won't hurt a bit.
Now, today's prescription, listen up, kids. Do something nice for your mom. Okay? I know. Mother's Day is come and gone, but one day is just not enough. Like we talked about at the opening of the show, she carried you for 9 months.
We're not talking about just kids.
Wiped your nose. She tied your shoes. Yep. She cleaned up your poop. All that stuff. Okay? So... do something nice, and just imagine how thrilled she'll be, and how many points you'll score, when she gets a beautiful bouquet of flowers out of the blue.
That's unheard of.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So just say something cool. Nice for mom when it's not the obligation time of the year with Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So do something nice for mom.
That's it for today's show. Be sure to check out escapeadulthood.com for today's show notes featuring links to some of the things we talked about here today. For Jason, this is Kim signing off from Madison, Wisconsin. Thanks for listening, and remember, it's never too late to have a second childhood.
It's a little childish and stupid, but then so is high school.